A doctor drinks coffee spiked with animal euthanasia drugs so his new wife can get his house. A mother's suspicious death is hidden by her history of heart problems until her organ donor status reveals she's a victim of Visine. A Russian chess champ is caught on video at a tournament trying to covertly end her younger rival's career. These are the stories of three recent poisonings and the people behind them. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. In March 2022, 70-year-old Dr. Gary Wayne Chapin of Argyle, Wisconsin, married the newest love of his life at the county courthouse. Amanda Alicia Ruiz, a Native woman 2 decades younger, had been a social worker and a healthcare coordinator. She was becoming a yoga teacher when she met Gary online. His kids didn't love that he was marrying her, saying they had a stormy relationship from the beginning, and she just seemed to want a sugar daddy. It turns out they were more right than they could have known. From the looks of their photos together, Gary was delighted with his darling wife, and Amanda was, well, drinking to dull the pain of marriage. She quickly convinced him to add her onto the deed of his house, which isn't so unusual for a married couple, but then she also got power of attorney over Gary by forging his son's signature. Just over 2 weeks later, in August 2022, with the house now going to her in the case of Gary's death, the 50-year-old put her plan into action with the help of her husband's occupation. See, Gary was a veterinarian, and therefore had access to animal anti-seizure and euthanasia drugs. So Amanda quietly stole some of the medication and added it to his morning coffee. She made them coffee every morning, and they would drink it together on the bench in front of their house. So romantic. When the drugs hit, Gary said he felt like he was underwater and thought maybe he was experiencing vertigo. Amanda said it was probably just a stroke, no big deal. So then she did it again, and then again. The third time, when Gary had breathing problems and lost consciousness, Amanda waited 3 hours to call 911. He later went into a coma. Examining his blood work, doctors found the animal drugs in Gary's system. When he awoke after 4 days, he said the last thing he really remembered was having coffee, but he was pretty sure Amanda left him outside alone when he started feeling ill. He said he figured Amanda was using a mortar and pestle to grind up the pills for his coffee because the set that was usually in the house was suddenly missing. Gary's son, who had already started piecing things together, got a restraining order against Amanda for the sake of his father's health. Investigators soon found that after Gary drank his coma coffee, Amanda sat down at his email and started forwarding conversations between him and his lawyer and his kids to herself. But Amanda, still in manipulation mode, wrote Gary an email in September, violating the protective order against her. She threatened to end her own life, saying his children were going to destroy her if she didn't do it herself. She said she had never tried to kill Gary, writing, "The only thing I am guilty of is loving you so much." Amanda was taken to the hospital following her attempt to end her life, and Gary filed for divorce the next day. And it turns out the authorities also didn't agree that love was the only thing Amanda was guilty of. They charged her with attempted first-degree murder, although she later took a plea deal for the lesser charge of first-degree reckless endangerment. In June 2024, Amanda appeared at a hearing over Zoom and pleaded no contest, which basically means she admits that her guilt could be proven, but she's not admitting to anything. At sentencing, the judge noted that Amanda had a history of committing domestic violence, although her DV case in New Jersey had been thrown out because Amanda was supposedly defending herself against a boyfriend. The assistant DA said that Amanda had disregarded human life, that she wasn't even taking responsibility for what she'd done to Gary because she didn't have the decency to plead guilty. Amanda's defense, arguing for leniency, said she was a beacon of the community thanks to her service to others in healthcare. The judge said Amanda had done a good job of being cooperative, and wasn't it nice that she wasn't showing anger toward Gary's family? But the judge wanted to make sure the trauma to Gary's family wasn't disregarded in the sentencing. She said Gary's health had continued to suffer, and there would be lasting effects from his kids having to see him in a coma. Amanda spoke on her own behalf at the hearing, saying that she was going to work on her relationship with God.
Your Honor, it has created many problems in our world today, but has not solved one yet. With that said, whatever this court rules today, I will continue to stand strong in my faith and God's grace, along with my own anthem I've had throughout my years. I did not come to teach you. I came to love you. It is my hope that love will teach you. Thank you.
What I love is that she thanks her mom and dad for embedding morals and strong faith in her as a child. I guess those wore off somewhere along the way. Amanda was sentenced to 3 years in prison and 3 years supervised probation. I hope the best for Gary, and he seems to be living a wonderful life with a new lady. But I hope he'll listen to his kids if they say something isn't right with her. Our next case begins when 35-year-old Joshua Lee Hunsucker's wife died in September 2018 in Mount Holly, North Carolina. He said he came home to find 32-year-old Stacy Robinson, his high school sweetheart, lying over the side of the couch, lifeless. It wasn't a total surprise because Stacy had a history of medical issues and had to have a pacemaker implanted in 2015 to regulate her heartbeat. Doctors weren't exactly sure what was wrong with her. A friend had even created a GoFundMe page to help Josh with all of the medical bills that had piled up since the birth of their two daughters. Luckily for the paramedic, he was able to collect $250,000 of life insurance when Stacy died. But there were some problems. Individually, they didn't seem like such a big deal, but when you put them all together... For instance, Josh's coworkers said he seemed unaffected by Stacy's death. He moved his new girlfriend into their home so quickly that Stacy's mom thinks he must have been seeing this woman before Stacy died. Josh had let Stacy's parents arrange and pay for her funeral, despite that life insurance payout. And Josh's story about Stacy's death hadn't exactly been consistent. He told one friend he was out for a walk and came home to find her dead. He told another that he was out chopping wood. He told Stacy's mom he was working in the kitchen when he suddenly noticed her slumped on the couch. He told the police he was outside checking to make sure his vehicles were locked because of recent thefts in the neighborhood. He seemed to have a hard time sticking to one excuse. It also looked suspicious that Josh had declined an autopsy when Stacy died, saying he didn't want her to be cut up. The thing is, Stacy was an organ donor by choice. She had basically signed up to be cut up when she died in order to hopefully help others. Josh brushed this off and quickly had her cremated. But because she was an organ donor, some of her blood had been saved at a donor center, so investigators eventually sent it to be tested. And wouldn't you know it, she was chock full of tetrahydrazoline, one of the ingredients in eye drops. The level was 30 to 40 times higher than you'd expect from just using some Visine to help with dry eyes. And it's an ingredient that happens to cause heart problems when ingested. Being a paramedic, Josh would have had easy access to that kind of medication because it isn't on any controlled substance list. And he once told coworkers that if he was going to kill someone, he'd do it with eye drops. It turns out Josh had recently seen a local woman on the news do the same thing. Although the woman had been caught, which you think would have made Josh think twice, but nope. More than a year after Stacy's death, Josh was charged with first-degree murder. Her cause of death was changed from heart attack to homicide. Now, the wild thing is that while Josh was out on bond awaiting trial, he was arrested again for the same crime. Only this time, it was against his 10-year-old daughter. Prosecutors say he put that same chemical found in eye drops into a drink that his daughter consumed in February 2023. When she became sick, she was taken to the hospital, and while she was being treated, Josh told doctors that it looked like she had been given eye drops, even though that would never be someone's first guess unless he had given her the drops himself. Her urine sample later came back positive for the same drug that killed her mom. At the same time, Josh is accused of harassing and intimidating Stacy's parents, who will be testifying against him. The prosecution believes Josh was trying to frame Stacy's parents for having something to do with the eye drops because this actually wasn't the first time he had tried to frame them. Earlier in February 2023, he said an incident occurred when he got a flat tire and needed to stop along the road. He claims that while he was doing that, Stacy's dad came out of nowhere and pistol-whipped him, zip-tied his hands, injected him with something, and kidnapped him, taking him into the woods a short distance away. I guess the implication is that Stacy's dad poked a hole in Josh's tire and then followed him until it went flat, just waiting to tie up Josh and move him a few feet. The police say there was no evidence to support any of this. What is supported is that a depression medication found in Josh's vehicle after this staged attack was also found in his daughter's system, and it's not approved for use in children. And as if this all wasn't enough, Josh is also accused of setting fire to a medical helicopter he was in while it was flying. He was acting as a paramedic during the flight over Charlotte when he allegedly started burning a piece of medical equipment on purpose, causing the crew to make an emergency landing at a car dealership. This happened about a month before he was arrested for Stacy's murder, which makes me wonder if he was feeling the heat and acting out. At the time of this video, Joshua Hunsucker is being held without bond and will be back in court later this year. Today's final case comes to us from Russia, which will give me plenty of chances to mispronounce things, so I apologize ahead of time. 30-year-old chess champion Amaganat Osmanova was at a tournament at the beginning of August when she suddenly felt ill. She had severe dizziness and nausea within minutes of sitting down at her board, but was somehow able to push through and place second in the championship. Still, one of the judges reported the suspicious illness to doctors on site, who said it sounded like poisoning. The competition organizers went back to the security footage. And in the video, they saw 43-year-old rival chess queen and local school chess coach Amina Abakarova enter the near-empty tournament room, casually look around, take something from her bag, go to a nearby chessboard where Osmanova was scheduled to play, and wipe something on a game piece and the edge of the table repeatedly. Chess.com reports that she had asked beforehand if the cameras were operating and was told they were not. When police took her in for questioning, Abakarova admitted that she spread mercury from a broken thermometer across the board and table in an attempt to scare her longtime opponent. Mercury attacks the heart, central nervous system, and kidneys if touched or inhaled, and can lead to permanent damage. But Abakarova said it really wasn't her fault. She was just acting on personal hostility. Reports are mixed, and some say Osmanova had said mean things about Abakarova's family. But it sounds to me like the larger issue is Abakarova had come into a recent match with a concealed phone, which isn't allowed. Osmanova saw it and didn't report her at the time because they had known each other forever, but she apparently told Abakarova in private that she was upset over the rules violation. Then the two of them tied at a tournament the week before the poisoning, but Osmanova was given the victory thanks to points scored in her previous rounds. She says Abakarova then refused to shake her hand. So evidently, Abakarova was trying to slight her rival by withholding a handshake, but that wasn't enough for her. She had to retaliate in a more serious way for being bested with the mercury poisoning. I'm guessing this anger toward Osmanova has been building up in Abakarova. The two have been competing since childhood and are obviously fairly evenly matched, but the younger Osmanova runs her own chess school, while Abakarova is a coach at one. On social media, Abakarova says that she is not inclined to support a main character who wants to outshine her friend, which seems like a pretty obvious metaphor. She's also posted online about her favorite serial killers, like Zodiac and Charles Manson. And news sources are trying to make that like the smoking gun in this case, but women shouldn't be shamed for loving true crime, right? Abakarova has been charged with intentional infliction of bodily harm and could face 3 whole years in prison. But sadly for her, it could also mean a lifetime ban from the game of chess. And that ends today's recent news in the world of poisonings. This was my first ever compilation video, so please let me know if you like this or if it's something you don't like. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.